Suns Mavs game 6. Mike, in the building last night. How was it?
I mean, you know how it was. Incredible.
Loud.
Proud and proud. What? What is it? Rowdy.
Rowdy, proud, loud.
It was awesome. And, you know, when they're winning fairly significantly like they were all game, it's more just fun, and you're still stressed thinking the wave might be coming, but it hasn't come yet in the series at home, really, and it just kind of gets fun where you're more celebrating, and that's nice when you're not stressed out the whole time.
I didn't enjoy – I don't know about you, Norm, but I didn't start enjoying what the Mavericks did until probably midway fourth quarter, because something in me was thinking Phoenix had – some juice in them to come back. They're a fourth quarter team. And every time they scored, a couple of times they scored maybe three buckets in a row to cut a 22-point lead to 16. And I'm screaming in my house, timeout, timeout. It's like, why am I so tense in a game to where their defense, and when we want to talk about, and I think in this series, some of the main mismatches we've talked about has been in the coaching area, because Monty Williams has done really good job at adjusting to what Dallas has presented to them. And, I mean, it's not like they're getting lapped by Monty Williams, Jason Kidd, and his staff. But defensively, what the Mavericks threw down last night was a perfect adjustment to what Phoenix did in Game 5, I do believe. It's throwing a couple of different bodies at Devin Booker. Hey, we're going to start it out with Bullock. And then the next possession is going to be Dorian Finney-Smith. And guess what? Now it's going to be back to Bullock. And then we're going to throw Dorian Finney-Smith at you. And after he scored those, 8 points in the first quarter, that was church for him until really late in the third quarter. Talk all you want about making shots, and everyone talks about the NBA being a make-or-miss league. Their defense yesterday was top-notch.
You know, I had different impressions of the game from you. First, let me say that I had a note early in the third quarter that said Phoenix wants to go home. That was the note I wrote on my pad. Phoenix wants to go home. I didn't think they put up much at all in the way of a counteraction to the Mavs from about 4 or 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Mavs had a 2-point lead, outscored Phoenix 19-6 to lead by 15 at the half. And, I mean, I don't think Phoenix ever got it to 13.
No,
I don't think
so. But, you know, it's always it's me. And I just wanted to make sure, okay, get the win, just leave no doubt. And, yeah, I think you're right. It's just the comfort level didn't get to the portion for me until about 3-4 minutes into the fourth quarter is where I went, okay, you know what, Phoenix is not going to do anything. This is the dub. Let's start thinking about game 7.
Now, defensively, I thought Dallas has a weapon there in that as Phoenix brings the ball down, Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock are waiting, and it doesn't matter the tiniest bit who covers who there. I'm serious. One can take Paul and the other can take Booker. Do they care if they switch? Not at all. And that really helps. But Donnie, I also wrote on my pad, in the first half and early third, Phoenix is missing lots of easy shots. In the first half alone, they had, now, fallaways aren't necessarily good, but that's everybody's shooting a fallaway these days. Luka loves the fallaway. Booker loves the fallaway. I thought Phoenix missed about 6 or 7 shots from the free throw line, and Phoenix usually knocks those down. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the Mavericks' win, believe me, but I did have those two notes. Now, can we get to the standout player in the game? That's what Luka Doncic should be. Now, take away some of the facial expressions and the yipping at referees, but Donnie, 33 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. We get used to those figures from Luka. But one turnover for the guy with the hand on the rudder. That was a terrific Luka performance last night.
They stuck at two for a while, for a long time. I think it was the fourth quarter where they maybe had three or four turnovers, a 24-second shot clock violation.
I think they had zero in the third, right? I heard that when I was in the men's room. I heard Coop on the radio.
I think they had two at halftime. So maybe zero in the third and then four in the fourth, but they wound up with six turnovers. And, yeah, I think we are kind of used to Luka being extraordinary, so we just kind of blah his performance. But I'm going to disagree with you, Norm, because the yapping and the facial expressions, that comes with the package, and that's the jerk gene that he has. And it's about time we've had a player on this squad with a true, absolute jerk gene. Because the way we talk about Booker and Paul and how we don't like their faces and all that stuff, I promise you, they are saying the exact same thing about Luka and Phoenix.
I'm sure they are. And you know what? You're right. That is part of the package. We'd all like him to do a little less yapping at the referees. And by the way, I think that will come as he ages in the league. I think he'll realize that's useless.
Man, I don't know if I want him to stop. I think that's the part of what makes him him. I get it. And some of the unnecessary technical fouls are frustrating, and it feels like he's always talking or whatnot. But I will bet you that if he tried to harness that, that may affect his game. That's just who he is. And again, he's ours, so we embrace it to the fullest, saying, no, let's go. And when Devin Booker says the same thing, I'm on my couch yelling, shut up! That's how we are as fans, and that's why I love sport.
Well, I thought the Mavericks last night did an excellent job of getting the others involved, the others we talked about yesterday morning, about the really poor numbers that came out of Game 4 from Kleba and Fitty Smith and Dinwiddie and Bullock. Well, last night, Bullock gets 19. Dinwiddie gets 15.
All threes. He didn't even take the ball to the cup. He got his three-point shot going like we talked about yesterday.
Well, and you know what? I'm starting to worry about Bullock. He's taking shots further and further from the basket. We're going to have a Steph Curry moment with Reggie Bullock.
He was trying to find it. He was like, I got to get going.
Maybe Bullock, but I feel like all the role players should just shoot their threes toes on the line, right at the line. Like, I feel like if they're one step backward, the odds of it going in is so exponentially lower. Now, Luka's a wild card. He can shoot from wherever. And when we had KP, sure, you can launch from wherever as well. But when Maxie does it from one step back, I'm like, it's not going in. Yeah. And it's usually just a little short.
I know. Finney Smith, same way. Yes. Like, toes on the line. Let's go. Toes on the line. Shoot him clean. And usually when you see Finney Smith in foul trouble, it will worry you. You need Finney Smith on the court at all times. His defensive presence is monster. And, yeah, those corner threes that he can hit. And he was in foul trouble the entire night. Couldn't get into a rhythm. He's 4 points. He plays 25 minutes. And you still win the game by 27. It's amazing to see this series play out and how the home team has had such a huge advantage. Not a tiny advantage. Huge. What's been the closest game in this series so far?
I have it all right in front of me because I wanted to ask you that. We can talk about that next if you like, or right now. All right, game one, seven. But seven is the tightest game in the series, and I was debating if there's ever, and there probably has, but another seven-game series that's gone to game seven where seven is the closest game of that previous six.
And the home team's dominating pretty much every single one of those contests.
The average margin of victory is 13.8 points in this series for the home team.
Yeah, that 30 piece, and now couple that with the 27 piece from last night, probably didn't help the average any. This is wild. This is that cliche is coming true big time about the role players on the road and at home is such a huge difference in those splits. And how we talked about maybe it was Phoenix's strategy early on to say, Luka, get yours, and we'll just contain everyone else. Didn't it feel like last night they said the same thing about DeAndre Ayton? Go get yours, big boy. We'll contain everyone else because we don't think the points you're going to put up on a consistent basis can beat us.
I fear that they are just going to feed him nonstop in Game 7. And that'd be a change. But it seems like whenever he touches the ball, no one can stop him. And he's pretty good, you know, with soft hands, like he is, when he's not dunking.
And for them not to look to pass it into him deep, it boggles my mind. Like, he has such an advantage over Powell, even Kleber. If they have to switch, if they have to play small, and Dorian Finney-Smith, let him get as deep as he possibly can, throw it up, turn around, and put it in. I don't know why they don't do that more often.
Right. Well, don't say that out loud. Let's not. We don't want them to know.
They did it several times last night. But you know what came into play again last night? That it is hard to trade twos for threes. And again last night, the Mavericks made 10 more threes than Phoenix. So let's just for a minute do some math. The Mavericks make a three, you come down and make a two. The Mavericks make a three, you come down and make a two. Remember, there was a difference of 10 threes in the game. If the Mavericks had made 10 straight threes and Phoenix had made 10 straight twos, Phoenix would be 10 points behind. And that's the way these two teams played. So, guys, let me circle back to that point earlier. Phoenix had some twos that I thought, that's going down, and it didn't. I mean, jump shots to the foul line, jump shots from the elbow. Cam Johnson drives and takes 3-foot floaters. And it's hard in the NBA to win games where you're trying to trade twos for threes and the other team loves to shoot the threes.
And I love the fact that they aren't trying to hide who they are, doing something anything differently than what they've been doing all year. They are a three-point shooting team. They try to get those two guys in the lane as often as they can. If they have a shot, they'll take it. But if they want to kick it out, those guys are ready to launch. And they got to have that same confidence in Game 7 to just be ready to launch. I haven't seen, though, a lot of times, the point god, as they call him, Chris Paul, as frustrated as I saw him yesterday. Like, just dumb fouls. Just not even into the game. He got loose for a couple of three-pointers late, but he is off of his game, and that's been the last 3-4 games where he hasn't been a factor.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.